This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message dealing with this great falling away prophesied to come here at the end of the age. And we want to look a little farther today into this matter of what God's Word referred to when it said that they would heap unto themselves teachers having itchy ears. Well, today we're going to 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 3. Have your Bible handy, open up and follow along with me. Also, I'm going to exhort you again today to pray for revival and to seek God in these last days for a great outpouring of the Spirit of God, that we might see God move throughout the church in this last day and prevent a multitude from falling away into such a state of apostasy and lukewarmness as really foretold in the Word of God. Well, it says in verse 3 here in 2 Peter chapter 2, "And through covetousness shall they, with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Now, surely we looked into this last week, talking about false teachers arising, bringing in damnable heresies, and many following their pernicious ways, as outlined in verse 1 and 2. Now we find this word covetousness appear. Now, the last day apostate teachers certainly are going to be covetous men. They're going to be very covetous. Their teaching is going to really be centered greatly around that word covetousness. Here it said they would with feigned words make merchandise of you. Oh, we've got to give a lot of thought and consideration to something like this so that we'll thoroughly understand it. I want you to realize right down the depths of your heart, I mean, this is not an uncommon thing to see people merchandising the gospel of Jesus. And putting God in it makes it seem so very real. Now, I just want to bring this out to light because, after all, this is what Jesus foretold it would be like. And I'm going to quote this to you from, you know, from his own words so that, well, you just won't misunderstand. But the church at Laodicea, a type of the last day church. Now, Jesus dealt heartily with them because of their way. Now, it says this in Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 15, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Well, today, may we consider that a little bit now. The Lord's saying to his church, to the Laodicean or Last Day Church, "I'll spit you out of my mouth because of your lukewarmness." What is the response to the church? And what does the church really boast herself and say? I think we have to consider those things because, after all, it's written in the Scripture for our learning. We are to rightly divide the word of truth that we may learn thereby. And surely this is what the church was boasting itself and saying. "Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing." Now, what does that sound like? A church now making her boast and surely saying, "Well, I'm rich, I have need of nothing, I'm just increased with goods." Well, now, that don't sound right. The Lord says, "Now, you say that." Well, I want you to have understanding now that this has a reference here to the end of the age. This has a reference to the time that we're living in and the end of the age. And this is what the boast of the church is in the years of the Lord, then at the last end. I'm rich. I have need of nothing. I'm increased with goods. Now, where does that come from? How does this come about? What is going to produce in the church this kind of an attitude and this kind of a boast unto the Lord? I'm rich, increased with goods. I don't have need of anything. Well, I think we could find it well embodied here in 2 Peter and chapter 2 and verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Well, there's one thought that surely comes to light and would express to us the very attitude, the very way, the very manner of false teachers at the end of the age, that they're going to be covetous, and their teaching is going to be teaching of covetousness. It says in verse 14 of 2 Peter 2, it says, having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Well, there's another verse that surely would mark it out to us of what men would be like. Now, a heart have they exercised with covetous practices. Well, I mean, it's going to boil over just as the Lord said it would, and well, we ought to consider all of these sayings. Now, we have many others. I read a scripture to you this past week. This one we were doing as we were looking into the scriptures in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we were looking at verse 2, talking about the very character of last day leaders, last day lukewarm Christians. Well, covetousness now, he said they would be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, but they would love them their own self and be covetous. Well, that word covetousness surely is well rooted here in the hearts of last day leaders. Well, now, who is this group that's going to be rich and say, I have need of nothing? I'm increased with goods. Well, be it known to you. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, put a tag on anybody. I'm just merely preaching you the Word. And the Word said this Laodicean church made this boast. Now, I believe that a very careful analysis of the Word, that the message to the seven churches shows us seven stages that the church would go through. And this is the last stage. This is the last stage the church will go through at the end of the age, and she's going to say and make her boast, I'm rich. I have need of nothing. Oh, my, that's sickening, really. No faith involved at all. My, reprobate concerning faith, but here was such a boast. But what is it like spiritually? You know, having riches don't make you spiritual. My, and I won't tell you this, the lack of riches is not going to make you spiritual either. It's being spiritual, being of the Spirit, born of the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, following the Word of God that will make us spiritual. But they have this carnal heart, and this is the boast now, as verse 17 here in Revelation chapter 3 goes on, and the Lord rebukes them. And he said, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, all the adjectives the Lord used reflect a spiritual condition, destitute. Destitute. You say you're rich, but poor. You're not rich in faith. You're not rich toward God. My, this is the state of the church at the end of the age. Doesn't that alarm you? I mean, doesn't that bother you? Doesn't that cause you to want to pray and seek God for revival? Lest you wind up over here as these Laodiceans being rebuked, being spit out of the Master's mouth. I mean, consider that. I don't want to wind up over here to you. I mean, that's their condition. Now, they don't know it, but he said, this is your condition. You're wretched and miserable and poor and naked and blind, and I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Well, surely now we've got to consider, this is a bad state, and the Lord has given one of his hardest rebukes to this church. My, I'll spit you out of my mouth. My, lukewarmness is unacceptable with the Lord. And this last day apostate move is going to be such a lukewarm move, such a lukewarmness that it will be sickening to God. Now, that's what he's saying. And surely you and I ought to wise up and say, look, we need a revival. We need a genuine move of God. We need something real to bring up a standard against such a thing as this that's really working. Now, this is the devil at work in the last day to lead a multitude astray. And he's going to arise and rise up here with many leaders that's going to really creep into the church and bring these damnable heresies and these pernicious ways and these covetous practices until the church is just boasting itself to be rich and have need of nothing and be spiritually destitute and lukewarm and unacceptable to God. Now, this is the word I'm preaching to you. Ma, don't get upset with me for telling you now. Just listen and take it into your heart, lest you also be led away into that lukewarm state and find yourself falling short of the glory of God at the end of the age. Father, quicken these words and make them real and alive in our hearts today. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on a broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message about these last days, about this great falling away that the Lord has foretold us would come at the end of the age, and surely relating to you how you can keep yourself from being caught up in that lukewarmness, in that falling away, in that rejection of Jesus by a multitude at the end of the age. Well, I want you to understand now, and we're looking in 2 Peter chapter 2. We've looked at verses 1, 2, and 3. I want to continue on now. It warns us that these apostate leaders, when they emerge, will bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, they bring judgment. And surely, when judgment begins to fall, I mean, it's not only going to affect them, it's surely going to affect them that are caught up with them. Now, go back a moment to verse 1 here in 2 Peter chapter 2. And the very last phrase here, denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And verse 3, it said, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Then God makes some comparison now of this last day falling away with other times and other situations, so that we could see the weight and gravity that this really means, and how this will bring a great judgment, and how this wasn't just the judgment of God upon a man, upon an individual, or upon 30 or 40 people who decided to do something wrong. Ma, it's of great magnitude, and it's compared with judgments of great magnitude. Now, verse 4 said, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, Well, now we realize there's a demon host out there, devils. And the Bible said these angels that sinned, that rebelled, that went the wrong way, they didn't get away with it. I mean, their judgment surely is strong judgment. And they were cast down, delivered into chains of darkness, reserved unto the awful day of judgment. Well, you see, he's comparing what will take place with these last day apostate teachers who bring in such damnable heresies, who become so lukewarm and fall away in apostasy to such a state as this, that he's comparing them to the fallen angels. Now, I think of that as certainly, you know, a great weight here. Now, he also went a little bit farther. He said, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now he's comparing what would take place with these apostate leaders to what took place back in the Antediluvian age, back before the flood, what brought the awful flood tide of evil upon the world that caused God to rain upon the earth and destroy mankind right off the face of the earth. Well, if we were to stop and realize now, there was a whole age. I mean, there was a lot of people. There was a multitude of apostates, and they went apostate. And the seed of Cain, surely we'd have to look and say, in the seed of Seth, intermixing, intermarrying, messing themselves up to the state where they were in such an apostasy, just in a state they were trapped in and couldn't get out. And the last day apostasy is compared to that. It brought the flood upon the earth. And the last day apostasy of the church will usher in this awful hour of judgment because of their ungodly work in their denying the Lord that bought them. Well, I have to look at all of this and say, hey, this is judgment now upon men. And surely if it falls upon them, isn't it going to fall upon their followers and bring them under the same condemnation? And those that have been hoodwinked and led away with their damnable heresies, their pernicious ways, their covetousness, their becoming rich and having need of nothing and being so lukewarm, they're compared to that age before the flood. Well, I tell you one thing I know about that age before the flood. God warned them of things to come, but they didn't pay any mind. Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness now, really preaching God's message, building an ark to the saving of his family, yet nobody's seeing the sign of that old ark and realizing we better straighten up. We better get back to God. We better get right with God. We better put away our apostate ways. You see, they were just ensnared in such a trap. They just didn't seem to find any way out. Didn't see any need of getting out of it. They liked what they were in. They stayed right in there. Well, that's another comparison. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ash heaps, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. I have to look at that and say, you mean the apostate last day teachers are compared to the men of Sodom? Yes, that's true. They're compared, and in judgment, surely are going to cause a fire judgment to fall. Why? Well, they've denied the Lord. They will deny the Lord. They will deny the blood. They will turn and reject Jesus. They will become so lukewarm, surely spit out of the Master's mouth. That's why these scriptures are given. Now, God said he made Sodom and Gomorrah not just an example against homosexuality, but an example here by fire judgment and a violent overthrow of those who live after the flesh, those who walk carnally, those who separate themselves sensuously, not having the Holy Spirit. My, I mean, we've got to stop and realize now God compares them in judgment to these wicked people. Well, if God compares them in judgment to those wicked people, then we've got to realize how bad they really will be. And I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just telling you this is what God's Word says we're going to see in the last days. This is what we're headed into. This is the last day falling away. It's right down the street. It's just right before our faces. Well, as a matter of fact, as I've related to you here in this program, hey, we're already 3 years down that road. A more subtle work of Satan, really bringing a deception into the hearts of men. Well, you're being forewarned. God is telling you, don't get into that move that comes. Don't get in with those teachers that walk after the flesh and that deny the blood of Jesus, deny his blood sacrifice as an atonement for sin. Don't get involved in that last day sweeping move that's emerging in the world. You better stay with revival. You better stay with Jesus. You better stay with the truth of the Word. You better have the love of the truth. You better believe the truth. You better not follow those teachers having itchy ears. You just better not go down that avenue, or this is the judgment that awaits that great multitude that go this way. Now, out of Sodom and out of Gomorrah, the Scripture said, "And God delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." My old Lot, someone said, what's he doing down there sitting in the gate of Sodom? Well, I'll bring you a good message out on Lot. I'll bring you a good message out on Noah in some later broadcasts in this series, and help you to see what was really there and why that awful judgment of the flood and that awful judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And we'll look at Lot and what Lot represents. And surely I have to look today and see that we don't want to be vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. I don't want my soul polluted with last-day modernists lukewarm. I don't want to fall away with that crowd. No, I've got to walk with God and walk in the Spirit. Walk up there after the truth of God's Word, not giving over to the flesh and the carnal things of the flesh. Well, this is what God warns us about. Now, it said, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished." Oh, yes, it's going to take God to deliver us out of that snare that's going to be set before our faces. And I tell you, we're moving into an era. We're moving into a period of time of lukewarmness where it's going to be a great temptation not to go headlong into, not to get involved in. Oh, it's going to be so popular. It's going to seem so good and so right to so many. Yes, and a multitude's going to be led away and wind up. Oh, thank God he does know how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He does know how to deliver the godly and to reserve those that would walk after the flesh and live that ungodly life surely under judgment. Now he goes on even farther talking about those that live this life, but here's three types. We look at them and say, all surely came to judgment. My, they all came to an awful end as a result of their wicked works. Well, let you and I give heed, lest we be caught up with the lukewarm apostates of this generation. Father, you quicken the Word and make it very real and alive in our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on here with the message we've been on this week in 2 Peter chapter 2. And this lengthy subject of this last day falling away, this falling into lukewarmness, this rejecting Jesus that is foretold here in the Word of God on this great apostasy at the end of the age. Well, yesterday I was relating to you how this brings judgment and how the apostate teachers of the last days are compared to the angels that sinned and fell, Sodom and Gomorrah, how God brought down fire upon them, and the Antediluvian age, and those that perished in the flood in the days of Noah. Well, we make comparisons. We see there's a great judgment, and there's a great judgment coming, and we best know that it compares to and surely is going to usher in an awful period of judgment and wrath upon the earth at the end of the age. Well, I'm going on today beginning at verse 9, and I want you to open your Bible and follow along with me if you have your Bible handy. Also, I'm going to exhort you again to pray and really pray for revival. We need a revival. We need God to rise up a standard in this last day. We need to pray for the church, the body of Christ. We need to stand firm and pray. Let's pray. Well, in verse 9, it said, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." And then he goes on, and remember, the subject here is dealing with these last-day apostates who will emerge and come on the scene. And we're just seeing the tip of that iceberg coming now and bring this real old worldwide apostasy in this last day. Now, he said, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." Well, there's a description again of that last day teacher emerging. Now, it always brings us back to this point and to this place, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness." Now, this last day generation of apostate teachers emerging are going to walk after the flesh. Their teaching is going to be after the flesh. Everything is going to be after the natural. Nothing will be the spiritual, the new man. Nothing is going to follow the order of the Spirit, of the new birth, of born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. This just won't even be in their teaching. Well, it's coming. It's right here at the threshold, and let you and I realize God forewarns us now. Let's think about it. Now, these men would walk after the lust of the flesh, the lust of uncleanness. They're going to be despisers of government. They're going to be presumptuous. They're just going to reach out there and just take things into their own hands. They're going to be very presumptuous. They're just going to grab a hold of many things. And remember, these last day apostate teachers are going to be raised up of Satan. They'll be like him. They'll be presumptuous. The devil is a presumptuous being. Jesus defeated him 2,000 years ago, stepped on his head, bruised his old head, took from him surely the keys of death and hell, but that old devil's still out there as a roaring lion, presumptuous, believing that he's going to run things, believing he's going to have control of things. He takes everything he can get his hands on into his control. These last day apostates will be just like that. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. Down deep inside, there will be this will within them. Down deep inside, there will be just this way about them. There's just no two ways about it now. God forewarns us that they're going to be a self-willed group. Now, Paul, in writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, described the very same thing, that these would be self-willed, lovers of their own selves, proud, boasters, lovers of themselves. Well, they're going to be self-willed. I'm going to do what I want to do, and that's it. Well, we best bear in our mind now that God forewarns us that this is what these leaders emerging would really be like, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They'll be bold. There'll be a boldness about them. And they'll speak, and they're going to be despisers of those that do good. They're going to have a form of godliness, and they're going to deny the power thereof. They're going to oppose holiness and righteousness. They'll oppose godly men and godly leaders. Surely there's going to be an apostasy. It's going to be great in magnitude. And this is what he said about them. Well, it said, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Now, God gives us a vivid description then, doesn't he? Well, he said they're natural brute beast. Now, he said the angels don't make these railing accusations that these men would make. Even the angels won't make railing accusations in that day like they would make. But may we know and may we understand, surely hear from the Word of God, that God likens them to natural brute beasts. You know what a brute beast is. A lion's a brute beast. I mean, he doesn't mind taking you and tearing you into smithereens. Doesn't mind at all. He'd just soon have you for dinner as not. Well, may we realize there is natural brute beast. We're warned, you know, of the devil in the last day would go about as a roaring lion, surely seeking whom he may devour. Well, all through this dispensation, this is what he's been doing, seeking whom he may devour. And surely at the end of the age, I say that'll be greatly amplified. He's out to seek whom he may devour, and he's going to work through a host, heaps of last day teachers having itching ears, surely turning their ears away from the truth, and shall follow fables. Well, that's the word. Men with no love for the truth will not believe the truth. Men who are reprobate concerning faith. All of this warning us in the word. They're like natural brute beasts. Well, some warning given then that you and I ought to be prepared. Now, he said they're natural brute beasts made to be taken and be destroyed. Their very works just would make them as a lion. You see a lion, you'd want to tear him apart. You see an old snake, you'd want to stomp his head into the ground. Well, these men as natural brute beasts are like that. When you see their works and when you see their destructive force, when you see the deception and when you see multitudes of men and women who once believed in Jesus as Lord and Savior turn and deny him, deny his blood, then you'll understand these as natural brute beasts are destroying souls, and might I ought to be taken and destroyed here by the word now because of that evil work. Well, it's something for you and I to really consider then, isn't it? Now, it's foretold again in this verse of Scripture. They speak evil of those things they know not. Now, we've seen this example many times. I hear many men even today. Oh, they'll rant and rave against the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They'll call it the devil. I mean, they'll get right down to business and just brand it as the devil. Something as precious as the Holy Spirit. They've trampled it and trampled it and trampled it underfoot. Well, they don't understand it. And therefore, because they don't understand it, they speak evil against it. Well, that's mild compared to what this last day apostate is going to do, not only with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but with the blood of Jesus, with the very blood sacrifice that atones for our sin. They'll trample that under their feet. They'll make that an issue that they'll want to just destroy. Surely you know if there's any one thing that they would want to destroy. The blood that washes, the blood that cleanses, the blood that makes a man clean and acceptable, surely in the eyes of God, because he's blood washed, he's forgiven. His sins are removed and blotted out. They're covered by that blood. Well, you can understand then why there'd be such a blatant attack against the blood. Well, that's what this last day move is going to be about. Surely it's not only going to be against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not only just going to be a multitude rising up, kicking and kicking and kicking at the Spirit of God, but the very blood of Jesus going to be against God, really right down the line. Well, multitudes are going to follow this and think, oh, this is wonderful. They're just going to applaud such leaders, and they're just going to heap to themselves heaps of such teachers. You say, Brother Daly, this sounds way out. Yeah, it does. But hang around. You live another 10 years. The Lord tarries another 10 years. You'll be caught in the grips of this thing. You'll see a magnitude like you've never saw before. You just watch and see. Well, today, may we be concerned? It's said now, they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Their own corruption will eventually bring them down. Their own corrupt way, their own fleshy way, their own corrupt, lustful ways. I mean, they're going to perish in their own corruption. They're going to create corruption, and they're going to perish right in it. I mean, the thing they build up is not only destructive and pernicious, but the thing they build up will eventually drown them in perdition. And they, as ungodly men, will perish in their own corruption. Father, today, quicken the word and make it alive in our hearts. Father, we ask in Jesus' holy name. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message taken from 2 Peter chapter 2. We've been dealing with what these modern apostate, last-day teachers foretold by Peter, foretold by Jude, foretold by Paul, foretold by Jesus, would come in the last days and bring such a state of apostasy. As Paul foretold to the Thessalonians in his second epistle, talking about that great falling away at the end of the age. Falling away, it's written right there in verse 3 as the event that precedes the great tribulation. It is the thing that's going to usher in the great tribulation, a falling away, an apostasy, men in the church turning to follow fleshy, carnal leaders that will lead the church into a state of lukewarmness to be spit right out of the Lord's mouth. Well, it says the reason for this now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I surely want to bring you back to why I'm bringing this lengthy teaching out on this. It says very clearly in verse 10, because they had no love for the truth. It certainly would teach us this. They not only didn't have a love for the truth, they believed not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now that's the last day apostasy, and that's what brings in the end of the age and the terrible day of judgment to come, because the church falls away into such a state of lukewarmness, in such a state of rejecting Jesus. Remember I told you what the Lord told me? That falling away was a rejection of Him? Well, looking on now, we've been talking about what would cause their judgment as well as the judgment at the end of the age. Now, God compared in judgment here with this judgment as we've described to you of not sparing the angels that sinned not sparing the men in the Antediluvian age at the time of the flood, not sparing Sodom and Gomorrah, God is saying he's not going to spare this ungodly generation that would come forth in lukewarmness and apostasy here at the end of the age, and compares the judgment that comes as a result to those terrible times of judgment. Well, yesterday we were talking in verse 12 about these men being natural brute beasts taken to be destroyed. And surely it said, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And it said in verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. Now they're going to be rewarded for their unrighteousness. Surely we had just previously read how he said to the Thessalonians they would have pleasure in unrighteousness. Well, here's another mention. Now they're going to receive the reward of that unrighteousness. They're going to perish in their own corruption. Now, they wanted that unrighteous way. Remember, the doctrine of the last day apostate teachers is going to be fleshy and carnal. I mean, there's not going to be any preaching that's going to really, you know, come along to really edify and build up and instruct the spiritual man in the ways of God. It's going to be a denial of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a denial of the blood of Jesus, a denial of the new birth, and denial of salvation through Jesus. This may sound hard to accept, but that's what's indicated in the teaching. And they're going to go on and love the rewards of unrighteousness, and then they're going to receive their reward for their unrighteousness, surely. And it goes on to say, they're as they that count it a pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. My, going to be hard to stay separated from such. Going to be hard to stay free from such. And my, he's saying of some that even sport themselves around with you. Now, going about in their deceiving and being deceived. Well, they're spots. We don't want no spots. Remember this. And I want you to remember, the Lord said he's coming for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. We don't want no spots on our garments. Oh, it was granted unto the bride that she should be arrayed in fine white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. Well, a lot is said about this group of last-day teachers. Now, verse 14 said, having eyes full of adultery. You see, they're teaching in their own corrupt ways. Now, they'll seem all right, but we'll know them surely as Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount. No false prophets by their fruit. No false teachers by their fruit. Don't just judge by what they say, and judge by what they do. And having eyes full of adultery, they cannot see some sin. They're going to be men after the flesh, walking after the flesh, carnal men, yet holding high places, over the body, over those that wouldn't really want to go on and say, well, I want to make heaven. We best watch with all of our heart. Now, our last day apostate teachers will surely be just as this verse describes them, having eyes full of adultery, cannot cease from sin. Now look, I want you to understand this truth. I don't care. You know it. I don't even have to persuade you to know it. You know it. You know that in the flesh, in the old nature, in the old man, you cannot conquer sin. A man cannot conquer sin. The only thing that ever conquers sin is when you and I receive Jesus into our heart as Lord and Savior and are born of the Spirit and rise up in the newness of life and mortify the deeds of the body. The only power given to us to mortify the deeds of the flesh is in the new birth, in this new life, in being born of the Spirit, washed in the blood, and then rise up in faith and walk in victory because Jesus purchased that victory for us. Yes, Paul, in writing to the Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 17 of 2 Corinthians, said it like this: if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, there's the only way we'll conquer the flesh. The only way we'll gain the victory. And if you want to get the victory over sin and over the flesh, surely you're going to do it through a new life in Christ. But the last day teachers are not going to teach that new birth. They're not going to teach that blood-washed experience. They themselves will be servants of corruption. They themselves will have eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin. Why? Because they're not saved. Because they've denied the blood of Jesus. That's the reason. They'll be against salvation. They'll speak evil of the way. They'll speak evil of the truth. They'll deny and will not believe and receive the truth and have a love for the truth that they might be saved, but will believe a lie, and the Bible said have pleasures in unrighteousness. Well, it all seems kind of hard, you say. Well, it is hard, and it's going to usher in a terrible judgment at the end of the age. Well, it goes on to say, now, not only are they in the place where they cannot cease from sin, they beguile unstable souls. Now, people who are shaky will fall right in line with them. People who are on the verge, and you know how many of you are. My land, you'd just about follow anybody that would lead you on to going out there, you know what I mean, and doing what you really down in your heart want to do. My, right there in a shaky place could be led astray so very easy. That's the kind of soul they'll prey on. And there's a lot of folks living on the borderlines where, you know, they just about make it. Oh, an easy prey to such ungodly leaders. And heart have they exercised with covetous practices? Well, we talked about that already. And cursed children. Now, he goes on talking about that covetous way. He said, who have forsaken their right way, which are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked of his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Now, I'm going to bring you a message on that in a later broadcast. We'll take in a whole broadcast to deal with Balaam. So you'll understand that these last day apostate teachers I'm warning you about that are emerging and are going to begin to appear greatly throughout the earth, these last day teachers will be like Balaam, and I would want you to have a full description of that. So I'll devote a whole broadcast or two, if need be, to make you to really understand that this is what we could see they would be like, and there's more in this light that they would be like, and we'll get into that. Well, verse 17 said, there are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Well, continuing to deal with their character and with their judgment. Wells without water. You see, they're going to be preachers without the Spirit, wells without water. These are they that separate themselves sensuously, separate unto the flesh, not unto the Spirit. And the last day teacher will be like that. Well, it says what they would be, and carried about, you know, of the wind as a tempest. My, to whom is reserved the midst of darkness forever. My, there's nothing good to come for them. There's surely no heaven to follow that kind of an apostasy. Oh, if we'll only open our hearts. I'm saying all these things to you with one thought in mind. You better pray, and you better seek God for revival. We better pray. We need God to rise up in this last day and bring a standard and to really bring God's people back to the place of walking with God and keeping the victory, that we won't get carried away by this thing that's coming. Father, in the name of Jesus, open wide our eyes and our ears to the truth, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message about the great falling away foretold in the Word of God that would happen in these last days. That falling away which is tantamount to a rejection of Jesus. A falling away being caught up in lukewarmness at the end of the age. And that generation of preachers, the apostate teachers, foretold that would arise and lead the church into a state of apostasy here at the end of the age. Well, I'm going on today dealing with those leaders that will emerge, that will come, that will bring in such a time. Brother and sister, we need to pray. We need to seek God for revival and refreshing of the Holy Spirit and for God to move that we might have what it takes to stand in these last days. Going on here in 2 Peter chapter 2, we left off yesterday in verse 17. Let's go right back there today. These preachers, now he said, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried about with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Now, try to picture in your mind what it would be like now if you lived out on the farm and you were relying upon, you know, the water well there for water. You weren't right along the river. You were out there where you had to depend on the well. And in the summertime, when the water table gets low and the water wells begin to dry up, then what? Well, you say, well, I'll have to go somewhere else for water. Hey, these preachers are like water wells for which there's never water in them. They're like dry river beds. There's never no water. Now, remember, water represents something. Water. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And surely he spake this of the Holy Spirit, which would be given to them that believed. Salvation is referred to as a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Now, these are wells. They look like a well. Yeah, they'd be a hole in the ground, but there's no water down there. They'd look like a river, but all you'd ever see is sand and rocks, an old riverbed, never any water flowing. Well, God speaks now of the preacher who's surely saved, and the preacher out of whose life would flow rivers of living water flowing out there to water down the souls of those that are lost by bringing the refreshing and blessing of God. Well, these are like wells without water. Now, we know what they're like, then. They're what Jude described as they that separate themselves sensuously, not having the Spirit. Well, considering now that they're like this. Now, supposing then, as this great horde of last day teachers emerge on us and really gain momentum, what would we expect to hear in some of their messages? Well, the Bible would want us to be forewarned. It said, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity. You know what vanity is? I mean, vain, unprofitable, doesn't do any good, doesn't help, doesn't change anything. It doesn't deliver souls. Their messages will be words of vanity. After you have heard them, they won't do nothing for you. Now listen, you sit up there and hear the Word of God preached time and time and time again. It's going to do something for you. You open up your word to the message of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit bringing the message, it's going to bless your soul. It's going to fill you up with fire. It's going to put something in your life that's going to bring a truth into you that's going to bless you. These men's words will be nothing more than vanity. They'll be profitless to those that hear them. It said, and they'll allure through the lusts of the flesh. Now, they'll have things to get a hold of you if you follow them. And everything they have. Now, an allure is something used to get you to follow. You just ask the man now that loves to fish for bass what an allure is when he takes his plug with his little, you know, fishy-looking little thing and its little shiny little spinners on there, and he sends that out there, you know, and starts trolling it through the water, and that old bass sees that thing, and boy, he's allured by that. It looks real. And all that flickering gets his eye, and he sees that going, and boy, it's moving, and he feels there's a fish, and I'm going to grab him. And surely he gets hooked. Well, there's an allure. My, even the angleworm is an allure when you go out there to that stream to trout fish. These preachers have an allurement, and they will allure you through the lust of the flesh. Nothing spiritual. Flesh. Carnal. The thing that men just love to do in their natural, unregenerated state. The thing that men just love and want and just would want to heap unto themselves, these teachers will give it to them. These teachers that are going to emerge in this last day, these apostate teachers, surely are going to be wells without water. Clouds now, no water. My, you know, when it's dry out there in the summer, and you see now there's a need, the crops are failing, the leaves are drooping, and there's a need of rain, and the clouds are passing over, not a bit of water in them, that don't help nothing. We need men in this last day who've got backbone, who've got courage, but most of all, who've got the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Who've got the anointing of God and will stand and preach and declare the Bible and declare the truth and really expound the scriptures and bring men and women to an awareness of the Word of God that saves and delivers and gives life. Being born again, surely, of an incorruptible seed by the Word of God. Nobody's going to be born again without the message of God's Word being preached and declared. Yet these will not preach the new birth, and they will not preach the blood. They'll deny salvation, they'll deny the Holy Spirit, they'll deny the supernatural, they'll deny the power of God, they'll have a form of godliness denying the power thereof. The Word says these things to us. Now, what are we going to do? Well, it tells us what they would really be like. Then they would allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them that live in error. Now, through much wantonness, we live in a generation of much wantonness. There's not enough. Someone said, I got three cars, but it's not enough. I want four. I've got two houses. I want a bigger boat. I want. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Wantonness. Preachers will begin to preach prosperity, my, like nothing we've ever seen. It's going to be a time of prosperity during this falling away, and multitudes till the church begins to boast and say, we're rich, we have need of nothing. My, we're increased with goods, and Jesus saying, because of this I'll spit you out of my mouth, because you're wretched, miserable, naked, blind. Brother and sister, these last day teachers now will allure through the lusts of the flesh, and because of much wantonness in the flesh of men, they're going to find now what they need to allure men to follow these cunningly devised fables and lead a multitude into lukewarmness, lead a multitude right away from the blood of Jesus, away from that born-again experience today. You and I better give heed. Come on, let's take what these scriptures say and consider them and weigh them out. Now, look, I'm telling you before they come. I'm not waiting till I see this, you know, on a billboard every day. I'm not waiting till I just hear this all the time. I'm telling you in advance this is coming. Now, I'm warning you that this is already in the make, and it's going to become one gigantic move, and Satan is going to be in the middle of it to allure men away from the Spirit unto the flesh, to go backwards, to go back from following God and God's Word and the Spirit to becoming now allured by the flesh and through much wantonness, my, those that had clean escaped turned back to living in error. Oh, this grieves my heart. Doesn't it yours? Now, you wonder why Brother Daly's been saying on this program now for months, pray, it'll make a difference. Look, I'm here to tell you we need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to pray. God is forewarning you. God is telling you what is going to come to pass shortly. God is warning you of these events that will come. This rejection, this falling away, this apostasy is foretold, and it's the prelude now to the end time calamity and holocaust and judgment that will come upon the earth. Because the church fails, this old Antichrist will rise to power. The church will fail, and this will bring it. The church will turn to follow cunningly devised fables and follow a generation now of false teachers and false preachers coming along declaring a fleshly walk in a fleshly way that will allure men and women away from the truth. Oh, they won't have a love for the truth, and they won't believe the truth, and they will walk in the pleasures of unrighteousness, and they will allure through the flesh, and they'll have a great following. Well, it's here, and I'm just reading these accounts out of Paul's writings, out of Peter's writings, and I've yet to get into Jude's writing. And next week, I'd like to look on into Jude's writings here. We have a few more verses here that we need to look into. But we need to look carefully because, hey, this is the way it is in the Word. And I want you to understand. Now, I may sound like an alarmist to you. Well, I am an alarmist. God said to blow the trumpet in Zion. My, show my people their transgressions. God said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Well, listen, will you? Father, in the name of Jesus, quicken the words into our hearts today. Make them real and alive and quick and sharp and powerful. In Jesus' name, amen.